Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Now, Jesus' disciples came from a variety of backgrounds, amen? From fishermen to tax collectors and all manners of things in between. There was a range of professions among them. Some were married, some were not. Some were well-educated, others were not. They had bad habits and prejudices that they had to overcome. Some had potty mouths, others were shy. But they all had a past that they had to contend with and to overcome. Is anybody with me so far? Now, we all have past too, amen? Some of us are married and some of us are not. Some of us tried marriage and it did not work. Some of us are educated, some of us not so much. Some of us have potty mouths, some of us are shy. We all have had to get to a place where we acknowledge that God is saying to us, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. But we fall into the patterns of the world because the world is all around us. Amen, somebody. We live in the world. We watch the world on TV. We listen to the world on our iPads and our iPods and our I this, that, and the other. There's a whole lot of world out there that's trying to get us to live according to its system. But the good news is, God is not concerned about our past. He is acutely aware of our present and our future. So God is trying to convey to this house that there are certain messages that his children should not send into the world. In other words, when you create a spiritual text message, you need to review it before you press send. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, because a spiritual text message is our behavioral patterns. And before we get to doing what we think we want to do, we need to go back and check it before we press send. God said to take his word into the world, which really means be my word in the world, which is why the Lord is teaching us on consistency. The 11 that were at Bible study know what I'm talking about. The Lord is teaching us on integrity, because if we cannot be consistent, we can't be trusted. If we can't be consistent, people can't take us at our word. If we can't be consistent, we can say one thing, but we gonna be expected to do another. Anybody with me? God needs us to have integrity, which means that all of our systems within our spirit are functioning as a whole, which means that we're not going to have a daily devotion and then go outside and smoke a cigarette. We're not going to tell somebody about a scripture that has blessed us and then go off on the weekend and get drunk. We're going to have integrity, which means that we're going to function and operate as a whole. We can talk it, but God said it's time to get to walking it. Now, last week, I don't know if you got this, but God said the church folk are spiritual housewives. What? That's what he said. Because if we can't ever get past the church, we're stuck in the house. Church growth and kingdom building are two different things. Church growth builds the house of God. Kingdom building raises nations for God. And God is saying to whosoever will, where are my kingdom builders? He says, though you live in the world, you are not of the world. You are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. So untwist that in your life. God said, this is not your forever. This is your right now. But what you do right now determines how you live your forever. Today's theme is be in it, but not of it. If I have two or three people to help me preach, I'm gonna get this fire up out of my belly right now. Be in it, but not of it. The theme for the year is taking his word to the world. And he's already made it clear that we're supposed to be the word in the world. There's certain messages that we're supposed to send, and there's others that we're supposed to delete. Today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, written by King Solomon to his son. But we got to cut through all of that and get to the fact that God was speaking through Solomon, not just to his son, but to all the sons and daughters of God. Am I making sense so far? All right, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 20, and we're going to go down to verse 27. My son, pay attention to what I say, turn your ear to my words. Now, if you know anything about Proverbs, it's the book of wisdom, and it 99% of the passages were written by Solomon, and many of them were addressed to his descendant, to his son, to the one that was going to come after him, to teach him how to live a full life that is pleasing to God, that is productive, and that will leave a legacy for those to come after the son all the way to the age that we currently live. Amen? So now he's speaking to his son, and he's saying, pay attention. And I don't know if you know this about yourself or not, but most people don't know how to really pay attention. When somebody is speaking, you listening to part of what they're saying, and then the other part of you is reflecting on what they're saying or breaking down what they said or thinking about something else. Some people in church, while the preacher is preaching, they'll be formulating grocery lists. They'll be thinking about what they're going to wear to work tomorrow. They're going to be thinking about what they're going to eat when they get out of church. It's a whole lot of distraction that prevents us from being able to pay attention. But how many of you know when God speaks, we need to listen? So he's speaking to us, Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. My sons, my daughters, he said, pay attention. Now put a pin in pay. I'm going to come back to that, but we got to keep it moving right now. Pay attention. Take heed to what I say. He says, turn your ear to my words. I need you to listen to everything that is coming out of my mouth. He says, do not let them out of your sight. So it's not enough, Minister Favor, to just listen to the word of God. We've got to visualize the word of God. Katrina, we've got to be able to see what God is saying. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. He says, turn your ear, and then he says, do not let them out of your sight. You need to write it down and look at it. You need to see what God says, because we're a forgetful people. Amen, somebody. We'll be shouting on Sunday and forget about it on Monday. He says, do not let my words out of your sight. So when you're going through whatever you're going through on your job, do not let my words out of your sight. Remember, when somebody rises up against you, I said, peace be still. Remember, I said, vengeance is mine. Remember, I said, take heed lest you fall. For they are, verse 22 says, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. So God's word is creative, which means it creates. It doesn't just fall flat once it comes out of his mouth. Amen, somebody? He says that his word, if we take heed, if we listen, and if we see it, he said that they are life to those who find them. Because you see, the voice that we like to pay attention to, because he says what our itching ears long to hear, speaks death every single time. So either we're going to listen to life or we're going to listen to death. And there's too much death in the house of God, too much death in the family of God, because we don't want to do the work that it takes to live. It's easier just to die. And that's just what the devil wants, because to do nothing is death. Indecision is death. Blaming others is death. He said, my word, God said, my word is going to be life for you. You're going to find abundance and fulfillment. You're going to find joy and peace. You're going to find purpose if you take heed to my word. Why is the child of God lost? Because they're not listening to the word of God. Why does the child of God not know why they've been created, what their purpose is? Because they're not listening. It's not that God's not speaking. Don't ever blame it on God. Oh, he don't speak to me. Yes, he does. You just don't listen. Maybe you don't speak God. Some of us in the house of God need to learn the language of God. We're so busy speaking world, we don't recognize the language of God. Help me, somebody. Help me, Holy Ghost. It says, it will also, the word of God will bring health to your whole body. You know how some of y'all stay home from church when you're sick? You go to work on Monday, but you decide to stay home from church. Your work is not going to bring health to your body. If anything, it might take health away from your body, depending on the conditions of your job. But when you are sick in your mind and your body, and you just can't get well, put some word on it and watch God work it out. Some of y'all don't even believe me. Somebody gonna get sick this week. Put some word on it. Put some word on it. Don't be coughing and then just declaring, I have the flu. Why do you just invite it? It was a cough. It could have been an allergy. But no, I got the flu. I can't make it to life study, but I'm going to work. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. I don't care if you're silent. Because these are not my words. These are God's words. Some of y'all still don't speak the language. That's just a cough. That ain't no sickness. It was actually a laugh, wasn't it? The word of God will bring health to your body. You start speaking it. And just because it don't happen immediately doesn't mean he ain't working it out. Do you know anything about the fig tree? Jesus and his disciples walked past the fig tree, and the fig tree was not in season, and Jesus did not appreciate it. And he cursed the fig tree because it had no fruit. But they didn't see the tree die in front of them. They went on. 3 days later, they came back. The tree was withered from the roots. One of the disciples pointed it out to Jesus, and he was like, that's why you need to have faith in God. Because even though you can't see it, you just need to be able to believe it. Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. Look at this. I can't really read. I think it's verse 23. Above all else, above everything else that you do, above your job, your parenting, your spousal relationships or responsibilities, above your house, your car, your body, above the other things that you do and you take care, above all else, above even listening, he says, guard your heart. It's the most important thing you can ever do. Because, well, I don't want to jump ahead. because it says it right. Above all else, let me put it all out there. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? With the word of God. How do you guard your heart with the word of God if you don't know the word of God? Get to know the word of God. How do you guard your heart with the word of God and you don't know God's language? Learn God's language. Above all else. That means when they call you and say, come on, let's go out at 10 o'clock at night on Saturday, you say, no can do, boo. I got to get my rest because Jesus is expecting me to be bright-eyed and fishy-tailed. Or is it bushy-tailed? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Sunday morning. I can't be tired giving God my half praise because I gave it all to the dance floor. No can do, boo. No can do. Well, you know, some people get a all on the dance floor, Demaya. You used to. But you would still always have something for Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's just how it needs to be. Guard your heart. Protect what you allow into your heart. You may not know this, but your heart is connected to your subconscious. As a matter of fact, it's a part of your subconscious, and your subconscious has no filter. That means, you know, just like what your eyes see, you can't unsee. What your subconscious experiences, hears, sees, feels, tastes, whatever, it can't be undone. It's in there. So the heart has got to be guarded because there's some things in the world that don't belong in the heart. But the world is always trying to put something in our heart because everything we do flows from the heart. So the world is going to convince us church is not really important. Learning about Jesus, that's optional. Living for him, just live for yourself. The world is going to send strong, powerful, what do you call them? Rerun messages. You know how sometimes you like to watch reruns on TV? Do they still have those? All right. Because they're changing all kind of stuff around on television. But, you know, sometimes you watch a little favorite rerun. That's what the devil does. He going to replay it and replay it and replay it until we just give in, till we fall into what we hear him saying. And the Lord is still and quiet. His voice brings peace. It brings comfort. It brings challenge, which is why no matter how sweetly he says it, if it challenges us, we start listening to what makes us comfortable. Because the Lord will say one thing, and then you'll turn right around, and the devil will say something else. And he'll say, but God says. And then you get to re-quoting the devil saying, God told me I could watch TV evangelism. That I didn't need to go and actually worship him. Those are lies from the pit of hell. Be careful about what you allow in your heart. Because your actions, your behaviors, your inconsistencies will show exactly what's in there. Keep your mouth free. Verse 24, right? Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Now, this is the easy part is the, okay, I know I'm not supposed to curse as a child of God. I got to stop cursing. I'm fasting from cursing this month. That's easy. I mean, that's like the obvious perversity that comes out of our mouth. That's the obvious corruption. But speaking negatively is perverse. Talking down to people. Speaking with despair as opposed to hope, it'll never work, I can't get it done, you can't do it. All of that is perversity. Well, we're supposed to be speaking, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if I can't do it, God can do it, because there's nothing my God cannot do. That's what we're supposed to speak, no matter what things look like. We're supposed to speak in a voice and vocabulary of faith. That's God language. Being able to speak faith no matter what appearances say, no matter what things look like, no matter what everybody else is saying all around us. We need to be the voice of faith. We might be the only ones. We might be the only ones that are speaking truth in a perverse situation. He says, keep your mouth free. Do not let it slip out of your mind and come out of your mouth. And when you guard your heart doesn't allow your mind to think about too many negativities either. He says, keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. In other words, stop speaking death. Stop speaking death and start speaking life. And when you hear it come out of your mouth, grab it back. We just saying grab it. You can grab it back. I know it's in the atmosphere, but spiritually, you can grab it back as if it never came up out of your mouth. And God said that is our responsibility. We've got to get away from that negative thinking. What they call it, that stinking thinking. We got to get away from that, and we've got to start speaking life into a world that is spiraling towards death. He says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Because it's distraction over here, it's distraction over here. But we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That's where we're supposed to keep our eye, because narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. He says, fix your gaze straight ahead. Because it's going to be all kind of imps and demons and devils over here trying to lead you astray. All kind of demons and devils and imps over here trying to lead you astray. And they don't look like imps, demons, and devils. They look like your friends. They look like your family. They look like opportunity. They look like things that you wish you could have. I'm telling you, Publishers Clearinghouse is blowing me up right now on my email. They're trying to make me believe I'm already the winner of $1 million for life, and then after I die, Kayla will continue to get the $1 million. But in order to be the winner, you got to subscribe to their whatever that's like Google. Now they're trying to compete with Google. What is that, a search engine? They're trying to be a search engine. And if you've got to search in order to win. They got me caught up for a minute. I searched for a little bit. And then I said, I got to get up out of this madness, because now they're trying to get me to buy insurance. They want me to go back to school. They're trying to get me to do all kind of stuff. Because I done got caught up looking over here at Publishers Clearinghouse. Ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. I don't want to hear that. You got to be in it to win it. I'm trying to tell you, if God wants me to have $1 million, he going to give it to me in another way. He's not going to try to trick me and manipulate me into getting some money. That is not of God. But I looked to the left, I looked to the right, and then I got back straight on track, keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing he going to work it out on my behalf. Look at this. Verse 30 says, is that 30? He says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Now, I love Haggai. And this phrasing is how God spoke in Haggai. Give careful thought. So I'm giving you a little God talk lesson right quick. This is how God talks. He says, give careful thought. In other words, before you do it, think about it. Before you go there, think about it. Now, that sounds obvious to some, but I don't know how many of you can testify that you have leaped before you have looked. I know we've all done it. I don't need you to raise your hand. I don't need to look at you. He said, I need you to think about what you're doing. Take a good look at yourself. Do you see how you look? Do you know how you look? Do you know how crazy you look right now? Give careful thought. Think about what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're wearing, where you're going. He says, give careful thought to the path, to the path for your feet. I'm going to stop there and get to steadfast in a minute. Because where we're headed is our destiny. Our destination is our destiny, and it's based on the direction that we're headed in. Where my feet are headed is my destiny. Do you get that, family? So the way I'm walking right now is leading me somewhere. The question is that where I want to go? Am I even taking time to look all the way down the road to see the path I'm on? Or am I going to be stuck in a dead-end job 5 years from now in a relationship that I'm unfulfilled in? Because that's where I'm walking. That's the path that I'm currently on. But I'm not taking the time to look ahead to see that if I don't do something different, I'm going to find myself bitter, stuck, and not knowing what to do because now I feel like I'm too old to change my career. Give careful thought, family. Are you on the path that you want to be on? Because if not, fix your eyes on Jesus. You can always change directions. And the good news is you can always change destiny based on the direction that your feet are taking you. And be steadfast in all your ways. That means fully commit to who you are and what you're doing. And don't give up just because the going gets tough. Don't give up when it gets difficult. Don't give up when they say you're going to fail. Don't give up. If God says you're not going to fail, it don't matter what the world says. If God says you're going to succeed, then you stay on the path until you get to your success. Be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. And keep your foot from evil. Uh-oh. So I got to check my path. I got to see my direction. Is there evil in this path? Am I being enticed and expected to participate in things that are not of God? Am I enjoying things that are keeping me from my intimate relationship with God? He said, do not turn to the left. Do not turn to the right and keep your foot from evil. He didn't even say your whole body because he knows if your foot is in it, your body is coming. But it starts with where you decide to step. Be in it, but not of it, family. Be in it, but not of it. There's some tools that God wants me to give to you that you really already have, but we're going to do some reiteration on today just so we make sure that we are without excuse, amen? Because God is speaking success into the household. He's speaking abundance into the household. He's speaking prosperity into the household. He's speaking consistency into the household. He's speaking deliverance into the household. He's speaking unity into the household. He's speaking fulfillment into the household. He's speaking purpose into the household. But we have stuff we got to do in order to receive what God has been speaking into the household. Because if we're not listening to his word, if we don't understand what he's saying, if we don't speak God, we're going to miss it. The first thing we got to be willing to do in January 2014 is fast. Every year in January, we fast for the entire month to establish a firm foundation for the remainder of the year. And now it hasn't been promoted as much as it's been promoted in years past because there's just an expectation in the atmosphere that when you go into a new year in this house, that's what you do. And I guess it needs to be said that along with the fasting, there needs to be some praying. There need to be more than six people committed to prayer in the ministry. And I'm not saying that that is the number. I'm just saying there needs to be more because that's how many prayer warriors we have right now. Amen, somebody. So there needs to be fasting and praying. And one of your sisters called me this week and told me that God spoke to her and said, we need to step up our fast. Yeah, we fast in January. Yes, we fast for the Lenten season. But then we go the whole year without fasting as a community. And there's some strongholds that have got to be abolished in order for us to get where we need to be. There's a stronghold over the finances. There's a stronghold over your obedience. There's a stronghold over your consistency. And some things can only come out through prayer and fasting. So in order to be able to pay attention to God, you could take the pen out of pay right now. Remember I told you put a pen in pay? Because in order to be able to pay attention, we've got to use our ears, our eyes, our heart, our mouths, and our feet. Didn't you hear that in the passage? In order to be able to pay is to give something to someone in order to get something in return. That's what payment is. So in order to pay attention, we've got to give God our ears, our eyes, our mouth, and our feet. And above all else, our hearts. So a good way to start on that road is to commit ourselves to giving up something that we love. Now, if you don't eat raisins, don't bother fasting from raisins because you wasn't eating them before. Fasting is a sacrifice to give up something that means something to me, to give up something that I love, like sweets or sodas or fried foods or fried chicken in particular or chips, whatever it is that means something to you, give it to God throughout this month and pray. Not pray, oh Lord, help me be strong not to eat chips. That's a waste of fasting. If you fasted for strength in the fast, then you wasting the power of your fast. We're supposed to be praying for bigger and greater things. If my man need a new job, be putting that prayer on that. If I need to get an increase, be putting prayer on that. If we need to get a music ministry jumping off in this house, put some prayer on that. I heard all y'all singing that song before the worship. Before the word, I'm like, the choir is lazy. Because all y'all sitting out there singing and you making me jump, dance, shout, run around, roll around, and then get up here and preach the word of God. Because you want to sit in your seat and sing right there. Pay attention. Give careful thought to your ways. Because he's pleased with me. How about you? Number two. We need to have a theme for ourselves for the year. We need to have a running theme for ourselves. Not, I can't take it no more. Because some of y'all act like that's your theme. Not, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Some of y'all act like that's your theme too. Not, I'm running ragged, I'm tired. Your theme is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your theme is, I'm going to be a warrior and I'm not going to give up. Your theme ought to be something that you know you can do through the power of God, who you desire to be in the presence of God, that will help you to become a reflection of God. What is your theme for the year? Write that down because that's not in my notes. What is your theme for the year? What are you going to continue to draw yourself back to when you find yourself looking to the left and looking to the right? What's going to draw you back to Jesus? If you don't have a theme for the year, you need to get yourself a theme for the year. So we need to fast. Speaking of that, I wanted to say also that we made the decision about fasting that from February on, whosoever will is going to fast every Wednesday. We're getting back to it. Because God says some things can only come out through prayer and fasting. So we have to fast and pray. We got to have a theme for the year so that we have a sense of direction for our feet. Three, we need to have a personal scripture. We need to have a scripture that we're going to read every single day, in the morning and at night, to just encourage us and remind us who God is and who we are in him. Part of my scripture says, be very strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, because the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. Then it says up before that, do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything it says and you will be successful. That's my theme for the year. That's my theme scripture for the year. I read it every morning. I read it every night. And sometimes I read it during the day if I need to be encouraged. Get yourself a personal scripture for the year that's going to help you to walk in your theme. Then you need to get yourself a theme song. You know how when you're watching movies and the protagonist, the main character, they on their way to do something, and they got a certain walk, and they got their theme music. There's a certain walk that they have with that theme music. You ought to have your theme music playing in your head throughout the day so that you'll have a certain walk. Somebody asked, somebody talked to me this morning. There's a certain walk I have. They noticed a change in my walk. I said, I love Jesus. That was my response, because I was walking to my theme music. And she noticed the difference. Somebody ought to notice the difference. You know what my theme song is? After all that I've been through, I still have joy. After all that I've been through, I still have my joy. That's my sacred theme song for the year. My secular theme song for the year is brand new kind of me. That's right. It's a brand new kind of me. Don't be mad at what you see. It's a brand new kind of me. Get yourself a theme song. I listen to it during my devotion throughout the day and what have you. I know Kayla and my dog probably sick of hearing it, but they're going to hear it all year long. So they better get used to it. They might fall in love with it too. I wake up thinking about that theme song. I go to bed thinking about that theme song. I go through the day and it just pops up. And, you know, I just got a little personal DVD track just pops in there, you know, CD, whatever, just pops in there. And then I don't even realize it's playing. And then when I stop doing what I'm doing, I realize this song been going on in my head. Yeah. It's better than freak 'em dress and all and get me bodied. Yeah, those are Beyonce songs that I do enjoy, I ain't gonna lie. But they don't minister to me. They don't minister to my spirit. They minister to my body. Make me think I'm supposed to have a freak'em dress. I don't need no freak'em dress. And I don't want to see your freak'em dress in the house of God. Matter of fact, go through your closet and throw away your freak'em dresses. Because you ain't supposed to be freaking them no more. That's not your theme song. And then one more. Get yourself a theme song, family. Make you walk different. I'm going to let y'all get your giggles out. You can laugh all you want to, but I hope you're taking it as truth. Because I have seen some freak'em dresses in the house of God that have distracted me. They made me look to the left and look to the right. I stopped looking at Jesus, looking at the freak'em dress. All right, let me be quiet so y'all can get it together. The fifth and final thing that we must have in order to be able to pay attention. And you're going to get sick of hearing this, but you're going to hear it till you show up, is to commit to the teachings of this house. In order to be able to hear what God is saying, and not only to hear it, but to heed it. In other words, do what it says, it being the word, We've got to learn his language. And it's Bible study that teaches the language of God. So you've got to commit yourself to being taught so that you will be successful throughout this year. Is your car still shiny and new? Is it still new? You taking care of your new year? Is it still cute, or has it got a few little dings on it? Does it need some help, or is it working you? Is it working out for you? Needs a polish? Clean it up. God says, be in it, but not of it. He told this ministry to transform the world one life at a time through word, witness, and worship. And it has to start with us. This is the first life that we've got to transform through word, witness, and worship. God has a predestined plan for our lives. I need you to understand that the plan is fixed. It does not change based on our behavior, based on our decisions, based on our choices. Predestination means it's set in stone. It is written, and that is what shall be. Your death date doesn't change based on your behavior. What does change, hallelujah, is our destiny. There's a difference between predestination and destiny. We just talked about destiny is where your feet are currently taking you, but you can change that course. Predestination already knows you're gonna change course. Knows you're going to get it together at some point in time. But the question is, do you know who you are? There's freedom in knowing who you are. There's challenge in getting to know yourself. But once you get to know your likes, your dislikes, your idiosyncrasies, the things that you are afraid of, the things that make you feel joy and pleasure, once you get to know those things about yourself, there's freedom in it. It empowers you to be able to say no, because you know yourself enough to know there's only so much I can do in this week. But we have to be willing to do the work that it takes in order to get to know who we are. The other question is, what has been keeping you from being closer to God? What's been standing between you and God? Because whatever it is that is standing in between you and God has become your God. You're quiet, but I hope you're listening. You was chuckling a second ago, now you're quiet. I hope you're listening. The disciples didn't know they were going to be apostles. They didn't know they were predestined to start churches and have missionary journeys. They didn't know that they were going to lead a revolution, that from the 11, millions and millions and millions of people would be saved as a result of the steps their feet took while they were yet alive. But they were being prepared for this great ministry in the time that they spent in the company of Jesus. I don't know if you know this or not, but things change in the company of Jesus. Things transform in the company of Jesus. Things that you never thought you could do, you can do in the company of Jesus. And let me tell you something, preparation is a beautiful thing. We need to learn to appreciate the time that God is preparing us for what we're not ready for right now. God is preparing you for your future, but we fight tooth and nail against it until we see something that we like about it. And then we say, oh, that's what you was trying to do, God? I didn't realize it. I'm sorry. I would have let you do it in the first place. We need to understand that God is preparing us for something that goes beyond what we can think or comprehend, but we've got to be able to just trust him to do his work in us. So I ask you again, do you know who you are? Who are you? Do you even know? Do you even know what the devil sees when he looks at you? Do you even realize the threat that you are to the enemy? Do you know that whenever you open up your mouth and declare a vow to the Lord, the devil is going to do whatever he can to make you look like a liar and make God look like he's a liar too? I don't think you know who you are. Because if you did, you would hear God calling you to greater works. If you did, you would hear God calling you to something more than what you are right now. God is calling somebody today. He said, you're a teacher. You're a preacher. You're an entrepreneur. You're a songwriter. You're a dancer. He said that you're a doctor. You're a lawyer. He said you are a kingdom builder. You are a generational curse breaker. You are the one that I've been waiting for. Yes, you. That's what God says. So come out of the world and come into the church and learn how to keep God's house. And then come out of the church, go beyond church, and come into kingdom. He said, because there I am waiting for you. Now, I was ministering to a coach earlier this week, and I told her to tell her team, because she was frustrated because they were on a losing streak. You know, you get frustrated when you lose 64-4. You start to question your coaching abilities and start to wonder, you know, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I told her to tell her team that they don't need a coach for losers, because losers can lose on their own. Let them know that you are coaching winners, because that's who you are and that's who you intend for them to be. Now, Wednesday, God told me to teach to those who will listen. Teach to those who want to learn. And when I see 11 people in life study, I wonder, is that really all that wants to learn? Is it just a remnant of people that really want to learn the language of God and the behavior of God to become a representation of God, a reflection of God, for other people to be transformed as a result of my witness? Somebody ought to be able to be changed just because of the way I live my life. I don't have to open up my mouth, get on a mic, and preach the word. They ought to be able to see the God in me because I speak the language, and it doesn't always have to come out of my mouth. But why people choose ignorance is beyond me. Why people choose to lose, I can't comprehend. I might have lost something a few times in my life, but once I learn how to win, trust me when I tell you I'm a winner. I've been created to win. And if I haven't won yet, you already know it's not over yet, because it's not over until I win. So the Lord's challenge on today is to be in the world, but not of the world. His challenge is to get yourself together. I heard somebody say, God will hold you together until you can get yourself together, which means that you really don't have any excuses, because even though you raggedy, God gonna make you look good. He'll make you look good until you can get yourself together and look good on your own. And even in that, you still want the people to look beyond you and see him. So we got to figure out what we're going to do. Are we going to continue to speak death? Or are we going to start speaking life? Are we going to continue to look to the left and look to the right? Or are we going to keep our eyes fixed? Are we going to guard our heart? Or are we going to let any and everything into our heart? He says, above all else, God, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. So take a look at your environment. Take a look at your life and see what your heart has produced. Can they find God in it? If somebody just stepped into your atmosphere, into your environment, or you still got that poster or that leaf, that marijuana leaf on your wall. They ought to be able to see and know who you belong to. But some of you need to figure out who you are. Stop trying to be somebody else, because no matter how hard you try, you can never be them. And then there's nobody being you. Got that from Favor. So just get busy being you. Because he created you to be you. That's good news. He created you to be you. He created you to be you. You don't have to be corny. You don't have to be anything other than who you are. And your passions and your likes and the things that you desire, God will make them holy for you. And you can still enjoy what you look like in the mirror. You can make different choices so that you don't look like you're going out to freak somebody or to get freaked by somebody. You can make different choices and still be you. So the question today, as there have been many, is, are you ready to be who God has created you to be? Or are you still trying to be in the system of the world? Or are you ready to go into kingdom? Or are you still trying to learn the systems of the house? Because we do need some housewives. But if everybody's a housewife, who's going to work? Somebody got to get out of the house and go to work. And that's why God is asking, where are my kingdom builders? If you feel like you want to be a kingdom builder, you might not be one right now, but if that's who you want to be, stand. Don't lie to God. He knows the truth. If that's who you want to be, stand. Hallelujah. I think it was last week, the scripture said, when the people were declaring that they're going to do what God says do, he said, you're a witness against yourself. So the stand that you've just taken, you set up a standard for yourself that God is going to expect you to maintain, because you just witnessed against yourself by taking this stand. If you want to be a kingdom builder, it starts right now. You don't have to take up a big outreach project and go pass out flyers. It starts right here. Start guarding your heart. How about that? This week, guard your heart. Turn that song off that leads you into a sexual direction. Turn the TV off and take more time to listen to God, because TV is a big, huge distraction. I didn't even realize how much of a distraction it was till the Lord took it away from me. Some more of us need to let it go, not because we can't pay the bill, but because we want to do His will. That's a better reason to let it go. Sometimes He'll just take stuff away from you. If you're just hard-headed, He'll take it away. I'd rather you just go on and give it to Him so that you can be raised up to be everything that God has purposed for you to be. Pray with me now. Father, we love you so much and we praise you because your goodness and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Lord, that you are patient with us, that you continue to give us chance after chance to get it together and to get it right. We thank you that even when we are raggedy and rebellious, you continue to love us and look beyond our faults to meet our needs. We thank you, oh God, that you have challenged us to guard our heart and give careful thought to the path that our feet are taking. We thank you, oh God, that you are preparing us to be our best selves, that you want us to live according to your will, and that we will find glory and fulfillment in this obedience. We love you. We honor you and we worship you. We can feel you doing a new thing in this house. We thank you for the freedom of our praise and our worship. We pray that it will continue to flow through us throughout this week. Lord, we lift you up on high. You deserve to be glorified and magnified. Diminish me and decrease me, oh God, that when they look at me, they will see you. I give you my ear, my mouth, my heart, my feet. And I encourage you, I beseech you, on behalf of all of your people, lead us and guide us in the path that you have designed for us. Let our destiny fall in line with our predestiny so that we will not be stretched and struggling against your will. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Yes, we do bless you, and we love you. We will give an ear to your word so that we can learn your language and heed your call. Continue, O God, to be patient. Continue to wait for us. Please continue to instruct us so that we can be pleasing in your sight. We will give careful thought.